I'd like to have everybody turn to our scripture reading, and our scripture reading is in Luke chapter 15. Let's start at verse 1. I'm going to do a little skipping in order to save a little time. We'll start at verse 1. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable, saying, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the home and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost.' In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And he said, "A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living." And let's skip to verse 25. "Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed a fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.'" And now down to verse 31. "And he said to him, 'Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live and was lost and has been found." Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for these wonderful words, these words of life, these words of truth. And Heavenly Father, we want to ever be that servant of yours that you would have, and be about your business and going into all the parts of the earth, Lord, and teaching and helping others, letting them know of the kingdom to come. And blessed Lord, we ask that you will have your Holy Spirit lead and guide each and everything that's done and said, and let all things that be done to your praise and glory. In the name of your loving Son, Yeshua, we ask these things, and amen. And I'd like to speak with you on a topic that we don't have that many messages on, but it's very pertinent to every person on this earth. And the title of my message today is The Lost. And you can see why perhaps we don't dwell on this subject, maybe even as much as we should. But we know through all of our messages, we know that being lost is something that we avoid, something that we definitely want to work in the opposite direction, because we want to be of the truth, of the life. And we want to be in the Father. We want to be of the saved, not the lost. And I'd like to go to my text to you, and that is Luke 15 and 7. So let's look at that verse. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And that certainly is one of the most cherished verses in the Bible. And this particular chapter is one of the most cherished of all the chapters of the Bible, Luke 15. We know that it is the work of the church. It's the work, part of our commission from Yeshua himself, that his followers and his disciples should go into all the world teaching the truth of his word and letting others know of Yahweh, the ancient one, the one and only, most powerful God, the one and only God, that he loves us, he truly loves you, he truly cares, and he truly wants you to be in his family and in his kingdom to come. Of my text, when you think about it, what can be read into this situation? There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. What can we read into that? We can look at it and we can say that these words mean that those found in Christ are going to be those that are found in right doing with God. That those publicans and sinners, tax collectors, that are obviously not in Christ, not saved by implication, that they in Christ would find help, not condemnation. And so we see that as a matter of habit and perhaps routine, the tax collectors and the sinners found solace in being around Christ, in going to him. Because they knew in going to him that he would have words of truth and words of instruction and words of life and direction to them that would help them turn their lives around and turn their focus back to what it should be, and that of being the right person with God, seeking his way and not their own. The publicans and sinners found that he was a friend of sinners, that he liked to eat with them, and that he gave most of his time to them. Yeshua had harsh words for self-righteous people, at least the wrong kind. But he always spoke kindly to those who had missed the way. In fact, the word sinner was seldom on his lips. He thought of them as just simply losing their way, being lost. On one occasion, when the people murmured because he received sinners, Jesus recounted to them four stories. And of course, these were for them to receive much truth from and living their own lives and how they reacted to things, what was on their mind and what was in their heart. We see that there was four subjects in these stories, that there was four primary faults, that there was four primary lessons to be learned from these four stories, and that there were four remedies, four saviors for these subjects and these four circumstances. And the first of these we speak of that was recounted was the story of the sheep. The one sheep that was lost was not a bad sheep. He was perhaps no worse than the rest of the flock. His love for the shepherd was no doubt just as great as any other member of the fold. But he somehow kept being distracted, this one lost sheep. He felt himself distracted to the point of drifting away from the flock. And why? Just as a lot of us today, we get our minds and our eyes, sometimes our heart, on distractions that lead us away from the Good Shepherd, from the one who cares for us like no one else can care. Then, as this one sheep was distracted to the point of searching for a better pasture, greener grass, darkness came, and all of a sudden the lost sheep, realized that he was all alone. There was no one there to comfort, no one there to help. Through failing to heed to the shepherd's call and having the flock gather around always close, the sheep was lost. And this is the way so many of God's children gets lost. We get busy with pressing affairs of life. We get distracted by the toys and the technologies and the things that are so prevalent about us each and every day. And these things come between us and the Good Shepherd, between us and the better way of living our life. They gradually drift away from God, gradually drift away from church, from the people, the brothers and sisters that are there to help you along your way. Then in the darkness of the same tragic hour, they discover that they are all alone, all because of distractions of the day. Distractions can lead to drifting away from God. Distractions can lead to being lost. The second of those spoken of as the four stories that I referred to is the coin. The coin was the same coin after it was lost than it was before it was lost. That which was silver did not turn to copper or to brass. And being lost does not mean that a person then has no value or character. The coin was out of circulation. Perhaps it had just gotten joggled off of the table, ran across the floor and up underneath a rug. But nevertheless, it was lost from where it once was. And it then could serve no purpose for which it was made. The coin represents some of us. When we remove from our lives our service to God, and we are just like the coin, out of circulation and lost. This represents a loss of vision, a loss of purpose in our life, as the coin had lost its purpose of being used. The third thing spoken of in these verses was the prodigal son. And the fault that we find with the prodigal son is that thing that is not at all a rarity then or today or for any time, and that is to be found in a state of meanness. And I'm not talking about meanness. I'm talking about a state of me-ness. Only thinking about what I want. The younger son was lost because he was only into himself. And only into what I want, what you can do for me. Horrible state to be in. Horrible state to perhaps come to your senses one day and find that you've been in a state for some time of just thinking about yourself and no one else. Meanness. We can be lost by dwelling and concentrating and thinking that everything is about me. And everything is about others. Should be to you too. Everything is about your service to God. About God. About your neighbor. Of being service to God. Serving Him. But not only thinking about your service to Him, but He wants us to think about our service to each other. Being the right kind of person, having the right kind of character, the right kind of integrity. Two words are very important, and there should be right at the top of your list of important words that you want to strive for, and that you want these words to be spoken of in regard to you. And that is a person with character, a person with integrity, not one that is all wrapped up in me and me only. This son was basically a good son. But he wilted and his thoughts got carried away for concern for only himself. under the rules and the expectations of his father at home. So he thought only of the moment, ignored his duty to family and society, and deliberately took off on his own. And in an effort to prove and to exercise his freedom, he became a slave to sin and a slave to a strange man in a distant land. He was lost through his own meanness. We have a loving Father that teaches us always life is about giving. The best way to live our lives is to be the opposite of meanness, the opposite of selfishness, the opposite of concern only for yourself. Yahweh wants us to give. He wants us to give because that's His way. Yahweh is love. Love is giving. Yahweh wants us to be like Him. He wants us to give. He wants us to give to Him in service to Him, and He wants us to give to each other and try to be of help and service to each other. And the last story that was to be told is the story of the elder brother. No doubt, this elder brother was a conscientious and honest young man, stayed at home, tried to do what his father said, abide by his rules, helped him. But he still got lost. How can that be? This particular elder son found the wrong way and became lost through his own pride and self-righteousness. Being satisfied with himself, he became intolerant toward others and lost to the purpose of the Father. The Father wanted love. Love between family members. Love and concern for each other and what was going on in each other's lives. Always. A question that we might ask, perhaps to ourselves, how does our lifestyle and our attitude affect others? How does our lifestyle and our attitude, along with our actions and reactions, can it affect others? Do these things attract people to Christ? Attract people to Yeshua? Our attitudes, our actions, our words, our reactions, do they attract people to Yeshua? Or do they drive them away? Obviously, they could do either one. But what does ours do? The four lessons that are to be learned from these four stories. The first is the sheep. The sheep was lost not because it had been destroyed, because it was very much alive. It was lost because it had wandered away from the shepherd who cared so much for it and the flock, and now found itself in a state of hopeless distractions, with its heart and its mind only on these things that was causing distraction from the main focus that God would have us to be dwelling on. The aimless multitudes with no sense of real purpose in life, no law to follow, no God to worship, suffer the same consequences as that one in hopeless distraction, which is actually saying distractions that would lead to faithlessness. Faithlessness. Hopelessness. The wrong distractions in life. Secondly, the coin. The lost coin still had its value, and it still had the image of the emperor stamped on it, but it was of no value. It was useless. And even though it was lost, and even though it couldn't be seen by the eye on the floor up underneath the rug, it still had not lost its value. But it was useless, and it could not serve its purpose for which it was made. And so is that person that is represented of the lost coin. What about the prodigal son, the lesson that we learned there? The prodigal son was clean cut, well dressed, young man. But now the prodigal son was living in filth and poverty and was clothed in rags. Friends and wealth, self-respect and virtue were all gone. But this is the consequence of choosing willfully to leave the Father because of dwelling so much on self, being so much into what I want to do, where I want to go, how I want to live. It's all about me. Do you see how the prodigal son was lost, became lost through dwelling on self? Each of us who decides to turn loose of God's hands and to walk away knows that that separation, in essence death, awaits that kind of choice. And the elder brother, whatever may be true of this son, it must be said that he was not a happy person, because the result of what his actions were in reaction to his brother coming back home and his father's reactions to him coming back home, this elder brother was not at all pleased. He was not a happy person. When religion is infected by jealousy and pride, there's really little to choose from between being the elder brother or a prodigal. What about the answers to these four different stories? Four different ways of becoming lost, losing our way. There are involved in all of this four saviors, four answers. First is as the sheep, as the one sheep that drifted from the fold and became lost. Surely with 99 sheep in the fold, a shepherd would be both content and thankful with 99 out of 100 in the fold, but not Yeshua. As long as one sheep is lost from the fold, he will search until he finds it. And when he finds a sheep, he will not beat or upbraid it, not point a finger of accusation, but will gently and patiently lift the sheep to his shoulders and gently carry it to the safety of the fold. Yeshua, the Savior of the lost. What about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a gift that is sent from God, and it sweeps into our life to sweep out the dirt of sin until we find ourselves bright and precious as the coin that was restored to useful service. The Savior as the Heavenly Father. The Father always takes the initiative. When you think of Yahweh, you should always think of your loving Heavenly Father that always has His hands out toward you in order to not only hold on to you, but if you've drifted away, in order to receive you back. As you come to your senses, repent of your sin, and want the loving comfort of your Father again. He already has the arms extended out to you. He already has sent His Holy Spirit to be received by all who would ask of that gift to Him. That gift for helping to guide, helping to lead, helping to comfort and direct. 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. God always takes the initiative. He's already extended Himself to each one of us and each person that's lost. But it still takes a decision by the lost, by the one who has sinned. It still takes coming to your senses, repenting of what you have fell short of, and then asking to be received back. And through the blood sacrifice of Yeshua, you will always have that perfect sacrifice to God for you. Through His blood, you will always be received back in good standing by the Father. God so loved the world that He, taking the initiative, gave His only begotten Son so that those who believe in Him and accept Him and repent of their sins will be accepted into His family and have all of the things promised as heir of the Almighty Living Yahweh. And the last Savior that I'd like to speak of in regard to these four stories is the church. Luke 14 and 23. Jesus said to His followers and His disciples, some of His last words to Him before He went back to take His place at the right hand of Majesty on high, being Yahweh, His Father. His words were, "As My Father has sent Me, even so send I you." And just as Yahweh sent Yeshua to this earth to be born a supernatural birth, He was given the job of bringing others to the Father, telling others of the Father's way, of the promises of the Father, of the plans of the Father for the future. Marvelous, wonderful, beautiful existence that God has for us in His future, in our future. Just as Yahweh sent Yeshua, so Yeshua sends us also into the world to tell others of His Father and of the better way to live, so that they may be able to make the decision to accept and be part of the family. However, people may be lost through distractions, through meanness, or self-interest only, through their loss of their personal vision and purpose in life, or by the lack of tolerance for others. That is, being intolerant toward others. However, of all of those ways that we may be lost, we also should be and are assured that there is a Father in heaven, Yahweh of old, who seeks them to be His own son or daughter, who loves them, who cares for them, and a loving Savior, Yeshua, who died for them, shed His blood as a sacrifice for them, and a Holy Spirit who seeks to bring them into the fold of safety by dwelling within them, being Yahweh's gift, leading them, guiding them, directing them, bringing all truth into the heart and in their mind, and keeping them, helping to keep them on the right path to Him. And lastly, the brothers and sisters and the family of Yahweh, helping Yahweh and Yeshua by going into all the world and going to all who would open their hearts and their minds to Yahweh, telling them of his everlasting love and of his mercy and of his wonderful plans for all who would open to him for all eternity. That's the wonderful plans that Yahweh has for each one who makes that decision for him. If you would you stand with me? And let's read the blessing of God to us and us to each other. Let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.